Hey, everybody, on this episode of Box Office Breakdown, we've taken... my God, I was so worried. I thought Neil died, but he's still alive with us, and we're going to salute his aliveness next and talk about some box office news. Let's do it.
Welcome to Popcorn Talk, featuring movie discussion, news, and interviews. Popcorn Talk, we talk movies. And now, here's Popcorn Talk's Box Office Breakdown.
Hey, everybody, welcome to Box Office Breakdown. Of course, this is the show where we look back at the box office that was, and then we like to... Beautiful. About the box office that lie ahead. I'm one of your hosts, Frank Moran. You can follow me on Twitter and Instagram at HappyGoJackie.
And hey there, my name is Carrie Lane. You can find me online at Carrie D. Lane. That's K-A-R-I-D-L-A-N-E.
Hi, guys. I'm Amy Cassandra, and you all can find me on all social medias at Amy Cassandra TV.
What's going on? It's your boy, Neil Plumley. You can find me at places where people are found at The Neil Plumley. That's T-H-E-N-E-I-L-P-L-U-M-L-E-Y. What's going on?
Let's just talk about the power of social media. Please, Neil, take a moment to tell us and all the fans that I'm sure once they heard that you're near death's door last week that they just tweeted their well wishes to you.
It was great. It was empowering. Now I know what Joel Osteen goes on about, on and on, just sending thoughts and prayers. It feels so good all the time. Right when the show ended, I was just filled with a burst of light, and I felt it, and I jumped in the air, and I got a little dizzy, and I fell over. But a couple hours later, I woke back up, and I started feeling better in like 2 to 3 days after that.
Oh, nice. Cool. Would we put the over-under of the number of tweets that you received above 3?
Probably not.
Okay. All right.
So, random side note on a more serious thing, you know. If you are watching this live, comment down below so you can chat with us.
Oh, on a more serious note.
Yeah. And then if you watch it later, it's okay. You can comment down below, too.
True. And only specifically about what you did while you were wondering about if Neil was going to live or die. That's the only thing you should comment down below on. Ladies and gentlemen, though, you can like us on Facebook. Give us those 5 stars on iTunes. Subscribe to the YouTube channel. And, of course, while you're there, throw a bunch of thumbs in there. Do that. And, you know, if you'd like to hop in the chat, feel free. We'd love to hear what your thoughts are about movies in general or anything we're going to be talking about specifically in this episode.
Chat a bat.
Yeah. So, and you guys, we like your comments. We read them. We do.
Yep.
That's true. Carrie Lane does nothing more than go home, get that nice cup
of
hot
cocoa. No, I like look
cocoa.
The next day, and then I'm like, no comments yet. And I'm all sad.
Do you have an alert on your phone that will notify you?
No, but I go and I have a rough estimate of like how many comments were on it. Like, we have another show, Star Trek, and that one, I noticed there were more comments, and it was nice because people were writing, like, good suggestions and stuff, and then, I go check. I like to read them.
I'm afraid of criticism, and I shun it at all opportunity, so I will never look at those kind of
Neil, apparently, Stardew just not like your joke, thinks it's corny and same old.
What joke? What? I haven't said any jokes since I've been back.
No. I don't know.
I don't know what you're talking about, Stardew.
All right. Let's dive into the top five. Now, of course, we didn't have any new additions to the box office from last week. But this week, we've got one sweet one coming our way.
Ooh.
Yes. We'll reflect back at the week that was. Coming in number one, should be no surprise, Coco.
Yeah.
Coming in strong. Look at that. Another $26.1 million added to it.
Fantastic.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Neil.
You've seen it by now, right?
I have seen it.
Yes. Yay. What did you think?
I told Anthony, our beloved engineer, earlier while we were setting up that people warned me to bring tissues. They did not, however, warn me to bring buckets. I should have brought buckets. It was tear central.
When did you first start crying?
I first started crying right after the Olaf short ended because I was just happy to be out of that limbo. I felt stuck.
Yes.
And I couldn't escape. And then when it ended, I was like, oh, my God, freedom.
I hear they are removing it now, like more officially for them. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, especially, at least and Neil was thinking that it may be sooner, and it might be, at least what I double checked right before we did go live, and it still says December 8th. I did not find any articles to say it's been being pulled even sooner than that.
The sooner it's pulled, the better, Frank. Sure, it's a fine Disney short, but it was totally out of place.
Yes.
Really ruined the whole mood. I was just like, sort of, people warned me going in, like, this is a 20-minute thing, you're not going to like it. And it's true, it was 20 minutes and I didn't like it. But furthermore, it just sort of, like, derailed the whole movie-going experience to be, like, something that, like, you're excited to go sit in to something that now you're suffering through. And I was like, oh, God, Disney, come on, what are you doing? That was the only down point of that day, though. The movie was fantastic. I hadn't seen good. I mean, I saw what you guys had called the twist earlier. I saw that coming about halfway through the second act.
Okay.
And the fact that you brought up the twist actually didn't put me onto it any sooner because I completely forgot about that. But I hadn't seen like a good emotional resonance to that level in a Disney movie and or even a Pixar movie in some time. Mm. Moana mm-hmm. got pretty close for me,
mm-hmm.
But it didn't quite hit home. But geez, just doing the whole song thing near the end, I was mm-hmm. just I was gone.
Right, that reprise.
I was checked in, but honestly, I was also checked out. I was like, I'm gone. I can't. What? This is insane.
Aww.
Who cried more, you or Alexa?
Me. Definitely.
You're a soft touch, Neil Plumman. That's what I love about you.
Absolutely.
But I'd be hard-pressed, even if it was not, I think, any short of 21 minutes. No matter if you've ever been like a Pixar.
It's still, just too long for a short. Yeah. Not like on film submissions when you do film festivals, like that's longer. That's in a separate category. Like there's super shorts that are like 3 minutes and less, and then they're like a regular short is probably about 5 to 15 max, and then like 15 plus is like you're almost a full film at that point.
This Olaf thing was more like a made for Disney Channel TV short,
which would have been perfect. They should have done it that way.
I feel like we
real quick, wasn't there reports that it was supposed wait, can you guys hear me?
Yeah.
Okay. Wasn't there reports that was supposed to be a Disney special like that was gonna be set for ABC?
It was supposed to be on ABC. Okay. I don't know why they decided at the last minute to switch it from being a televised special to now putting it in front of.
I honestly think for marketing purposes, because it was on banners and displays inside of theaters for the longest time. Not so much for like areas like Los Angeles where there's a heavy Hispanic culture in the area, but more for like flyover states, middle America, stuff to be like, they might not be interested outright to see Coco right away, but if their kids see the little Olaf thing in the theater, they might get pulled in sooner. So I honestly think it was probably a decent marketing campaign, or marketing ploy, I would say, in those states, but it didn't serve the purpose of the movie at all.
But for kids, it sucks too, because you're there for like your 20 minutes or so of trailers, and then a 20-minute short, so it's an extra 40 minutes, and Coco's not a short film either.
No, it's almost all in 2 hours. It's like a three-hour experience.
So it's a long time for a little kid to sit there the whole time.
Especially if you're like at an AMC. Hey, Amy, do you need water or something?
I do. I might need more.
Okay, let me know.
I just got so choked up talking about Coco.
Here, you can have some of mine. Thank you.
Well, I also feel like that kind of undermines or kind of undercuts the Pixar film because they've done many other films other than just Coco that kind of weigh out their concepts or a little, you know, not as quite as easy to digest. So why was this one kind of singled like, well, we need this one in particular needs some kind of extra boost that a Frozen short might give it.
Well, I don't want to speak too boldly, but probably probably from the whole political atmosphere that we're in right now. There's a lot of to put it plainly, the whole like build the wall thing. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of animosity with a Hispanic culture in states where people like that are affected. So maybe that was part of it. Maybe that was Disney's thought process. I don't know. I'm not those executives. I'm not sure. But if I was going to wager a guess, if it is a marketing thing, that's probably what I put my finger on.
Coming in number two, we've got Justice League from Warner Brothers, another $16.5 million. That's right. 59.7% drop.
Hey, it was fun.
I thought it was fantastic.
Silence.
Oh, boy.
Silence. All right. I defended it last week.
Yeah, we will have to.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
I can't even. I wish I could get riled up enough to, like, be like, no.
Is that a big drop? 59% drop. 59.7. People are asking.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's just one of those. I can understand why people don't like it, but I thought it was fun.
Yeah.
All right. But I feel like we won't have a better segue than this. Who watched the Avengers Infinity War trailer?
Yeah.
Yes!
Several times.
Yeah. So the reaction to that compared to the reaction for the Justice League trailer.
Well, it's the most viewed trailer of all time. It just beat the It trailer.
True. NBD. But regardless of that, your personal feelings when you're watching that as opposed to when you first saw the Justice League trailer, which one kind of really got you more stoked?
Avengers.
And is that merely because, like, hey, this has been a brand that's been around for 10-plus years, so it's really built in
Yeah. Well, because it's all the cameos, and you're like, yes, oh, all these coming together, and the button at the end, too, you're like, yes.
And Marvel says that this movie has 64 main characters.
Yeah.
Wow.
That's a lot. And those are people that we know. people that we've seen in movies before, characters that have already been established. So that's why it's such a big deal.
Mm-hmm. That'd be cool. And it definitely, you can see why it needs two films. The story needs two films to be told, because there's a lot of people to fit in. I'm sure a lot of cool moments that will need to be given to each of those characters.
Yeah.
Or to,
yeah, we'll
see. Lesser
extent. I don't like Black Widow as a blonde, though.
No.
I don't mind it.
I kind of like
no.
it. Yeah, I kind of like it.
Headcanon, she's just deep cover somewhere, and then she gets pulled out abruptly.
I'm okay with that then, you know, maybe. And then I was joking to my friend, I'm like, she's just between different dye jobs, so she has to bleach it before she does the red.
Yeah.
Well, she hasn't gone to her stylist yet.
Right.
You know.
Although there was a different Black Widow that had blonde hair, so it could be a nod to that at one point. But who knows? That seems like a weird deep cut to kind of tip your hat to. But who knows? I'm sure.
Like it.
But I trust the Russo brothers. They've kind of...
there's a reason for it, for sure.
Yeah. Yeah.
After I watched the trailer, I recently just rewatched The Civil War. And I just remembered how good they worked in Captain's stubborn righteousness that he has and how powerful that was near the end of the movie when he's like faced with this oppositional force of Iron Man being like, obviously, like, I'm pissed off about my parents and what I just learned. And Cap's like, I know, dude, but you can't. Calm down. And... I'm just really excited to see what they have in store for not only this one, but the next one that's coming out in 2019.
Yeah, there's, Vanity Fair's got a big spread on that. And they did the big class photo. They did a big interview with Kevin Feige. So it seems like a lot of forethought has gone into like how they want to stick the landing for what will be the end of Phase 3.
Mm-hmm.
So that's, I'm excited to see what happens.
Yeah.
We shall see.
Coming to number three, Wonder. Another $12.5 million to this Lion Gates film.
Not bad.
Yeah. There you go. All right. Well, that's our thoughts on that one.
You liked it.
I did.
I still have not seen it yet. I'd like to go check it out.
Neil, you would cry.
I bet I would.
Number four, we've got Thor Ragnarok, of course, from Disney as well. Another $9.65 million. And finally, Daddy's Home 2.
Still there. Paramount.
Yeah, 7.5.
I was going to say, I don't think any of us had that on top five from last week.
That movie actually, popped in my head. Just a couple days ago.
Okay. Oh.
Because at the end of the movie, they have a big sing-along with the cast members and the people who are in a local movie theater. Bear with me. And they sing on stage to these people they don't know, with mics that work, I guess, a Christmas song. And I was with my wife Alexis, and we're decorating our Christmas tree, and that song came on the playlist that we're listening to, and I'm like, oh... And all I could think about was Mel Gibson obviously just mouthing the words and then having the ADR layer over it.
You don't think he was committed in that moment?
I think he was committed. He may not have been mouthing the words, but he was definitely ADR'd on afterwards. It was one of those things where it's like, and then like the voice is like, so you can't do.
What song was it?
I can't remember the name of it.
Would you like to sing?
Go ahead.
I don't remember the words.
There's a microphone right here.
I'm not sure if I can hum it. Give me a second.
So it's not a big one then, right? Because it's not coming to your head right
now. No, it's a big one. It's just not one that I'm particularly familiar with. It's Do They Know It's Christmas After All or something like that?
Oh, gosh. Yeah, America's like John Cena. He's like, oh, this gets me every time.
Yeah.
Yeah. Maybe. I think. I don't know. All those Daddy's Home 2 fans.
I don't remember the name of the song.
Give us give us some info on that.
Yeah.
All right. So for our international numbers here, of course, Disney's Pixar's Coco. It's struck a chord in China. The movie from the directors Lee Unrich and Adrian Molina has quickly become the top-grossing Pixar title ever in the market. They got $75.6 million after 10 days there.
Sweet.
That's right. It came in 148% above last weekend's opening. So look at that. It's the fantastic word of mouth of that film.
Fantastic.
The full international box office weekend for Coco was $69 million in 33 markets for an offshore total of $171.3 million and a global tally of $280 million. And we still have Australia, Italy, Brazil, Korea, the UK, and Japan left to go. So,
wow.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
They really are going for a groundswell on this. With their release times and everything I can see.
Mm-hmm.
Do you see any other animated film that's come out so far this year that could beat it for an Academy Award?
My mind's blanking from the beginning of the year. Lego Batman was in the beginning of the year, right?
Yes. There were some foreign films listed. We talked about this on Animation Breakdown, which is on Mondays at 5. That one, yeah, there's a The Breadwinner, I think.
Oh, right.
That one's
mention that one, The Breadwinner.
That one's getting some major attention.
Despicable Me 3.
No. There's a couple other foreign ones, too, that, like, maybe, you know. But would you, if we want to be more specific, any American films? I'm probably Coco's frontrunner.
Yeah.
Look at that.
You heard it here. No.
That's right. Carrie Lynn has already called it right now.
Yeah. Those awards, okay, we can have all the thing about it. We've talked about awards. It can be so arbitrary sometimes that, like, I feel, not to discredit the ones that have won, but sometimes you're just like, what is this movie? And then if you guys watch the Adam Ruins Everything on the awards, yeah.
Yeah.
Who buys the advertising is pretty much in the end.
Now with Coco's domestic tally as well, it helped Disney cross $500 billion globally for 2017. Look at them. I know we were worried that they weren't able to make it. We were scared for the longest time this year. Like, are they going to make $5 billion?
Are they going to?
Whew, man. What do you think, Neil? Will they make $6 billion by the end of the year?
I think it's a strong possibility, Frank. The Force might be strong with that one.
Oh, there you go. Thor Ragnarok has got $816.4 million worldwide, and it got another $6.5 million this frame internationally to lift its final total to $525 million, passing X-Men Days of Future Past's $514 million.
Praise be.
That's right. Justice League dropped 50% in the third outing to lasso $35.7 million for an overseas total of $370.1 million. And the worldwide total to date is $567.4 million. Yeah, so we've got Murder on the Orient Express, Express, crossed $150 million internationally. So I'll be curious if we get a sequel on that one.
Oh.
Hmm.
Yeah. I mean, Kenneth Branagh said he'd be game to do another one, so.
Who else will they kill?
Beautiful mustache.
Who's left?
That's true. That's, yeah, I don't know.
It'd be It's the murderer on the Nile. Because they were like, he got a call and he's going to Egypt now.
Right.
And that is a, I think I've actually listened to that one. It's a book on tape. So that's another big famous story.
Which one did you like
Inspector
better?
Inspector Clouseau. I haven't read Murder on the Orient Express, so I couldn't say.
But book-wise. You've listened to Murder on the Nile.
I think that's the title. I was like, I'm not really sure. I think it's that. But someone said Murder on the Nile. Thank you.
Nice.
Cool. I like that one, as I recall. But it's been a little while. Right. I don't know if I could say which one I like better.
Okay. And then, of course, we have Bad Moms Christmas. It's past $100 million, everybody.
Hey.
Hip, hip, hooray.
Girl power.
Yes. Yay. So, of course, we didn't have a box office bet last week because we didn't have a film.
No wide releases.
So
no
we
wide
all releases. Won.
Yay!
There you go. But we're going to be resuming it again this week with a film that I had never heard of until I started putting together this week's stuff. There's one film coming out. I mean, we also have Disaster Artist. No. That's kind of that's a limited.
Yeah. So.
I'm excited about it.
A couple people in the chat were talking about that one.
How many of you have actually seen The Room, though?
No, but I'm going to watch it.
Okay, I've seen it. I love that movie, I got to say. I want to watch it. Like, they do it every year, I believe, in L.A. somewhere. They do the screening with Tommy Wiseau, and he joins in, and then, like, people throw popcorn at the screen.
And spoons.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's a thing.
There was a video going around on Facebook that someone was analyzing, like, why this movie is so popular. It's really good. It's very funny. I don't know if you guys can... I don't know what you'd search it, but it's just someone analyzing and breaking down why is The Room... Like, why do we like these bad movies and stuff? And really... It's actually a really detailed and nice look
tweet
at it.
Tweet the link.
There you go.
I'll see if it's... It might just be on Facebook, but I'll see if I can find it and be like, put it over on Twitter and share.
Or just Google someone analyzes The Room. That's probably a good Google search.
No, because I bet there's a lot
of... I'm sure everyone's done that.
Yeah, if I can find it, I'll find it for you guys. Because it's, I mean, it makes sense because it goes into like why we as people like bad movies. But this one is an even different kind of level of bad. And just, yeah, I'll see if I can find it.
Cool.
We also have the Mickey M, speaking of animation Oscar winners, putting out his thoughts for and his hopes for My Little Pony getting the Oscar.
Right.
Oh.
Yes.
I don't know. That's a big contender.
Zias wants to know, what are your thoughts on Ridley leaving after episode 9, probably?
It's fine. Yeah. Pretty sure that was going to be the conclusion of that story. That's okay with me.
Yeah.
I do like the interview because they just said, like, well, what about, like, I mean, Harrison Ford came back, you know, much later in his life. It's like, what if he came back when you're 50? And she's like, I can't think that far ahead.
Yeah.
I can't answer. How do you expect me to answer that question?
I don't know.
Yeah.
They had a really cute shirt at Target that had, like, it had Princess Leia, Ridley. Oh, my gosh. What's Rogue One? What's her name?
Jen Erso.
Thank you. And then there's somebody from, I think, the cartoon, but it had all of them as, like, Rebels.
I love that.
Was it Ahsoka?
I know what she looks like. But it looked really cool.
What, isn't it like, Amidala, sure. Leia, and...
It's like a kid's one. They'll be like, what?
Is it Amidala and Leia and...
Amidala should have been on that shirt, too, because she did a lot of stuff, too. Just saying.
Padme's queen.
It's an abbreviation shirt, I suppose.
I mean, they couldn't put all the powerful women.
You know. They couldn't fit,
There's too many.
So we will we'll put two films in contention because we got to The Disaster Artist and we've got people talking about it there. We also have another film starring Tommy Lee Jones, Morgan Freeman, and Renee Russo called Just Getting Started from Broad Green Pictures.
That's what the movie is.
Which one is that one again? Is that like...
I have no idea. I've only seen the poster, I could not tell you anything about it.
I can tell you a little bit from the synopsis.
From
the trailer that I saw.
Oh.
Morgan Freeman's in a retirement center and he's got all his boys with him and they're like, you know, big pimping in the retirement center.
Yeah. I remember that.
And then Tommy Lee Jones comes in and basically starts doing better than Morgan Freeman and everything. He shoots a better game of golf. He's better at ping pong, pool. He's better with the ladies. It's such a weird concept.
There's something about witness protection.
But then, yeah, Morgan Freeman's character is in witness protection and he needs Tommy Lee Jones to help him solve a problem regarding that. It looks dreadful.
This right here, as Carrie pulled up the plot summary, this is the first line. A two-hander action comedy in the vein of Midnight Run? Come on. I am not thinking that this film is going to live up to the caliber of Midnight Run. That seems ridiculous. All right. But we've got that. Sure. That's a film that's coming out in theaters. All right. So, ladies and gentlemen, feel free to start chiming away in the chat about which film you'd like us to do for the box office bet. I think Amy would love you even more if it was The Disaster
Artist. Yeah. Yes, please.
Oh, Shape of Water, but that has it's first New York and then we're getting it, so it's not regular full release.
Yeah, we'll do it when it goes wide. When it goes wide.
Wide release, guys. Wide release. But thank you for bringing it up. Taking I'm excited for that one.
So
we'll do it wide.
Before we do our box office bets or our box office predictions for next week, we'd like to do a little box office rewind. Well, one of the actors in one of the films coming out, and since I only thought it was the one, I just went with Tommy Lee Jones. Who doesn't love? Yes.
Yes. Well, I just wanted to say that there are other movies that are out in theaters, limited release this week. Lady Bird was one of them.
Great. And you let's saw move that. On.
Okay.
Oh, yeah. You saw it. Talk about it. I've been hearing good things.
It's really good. It's really good. I practiced her name all day. Hold on. Saoirse Ronan. Bam.
Ooh, cool name.
She did this whole thing on SNL of like how to say her name correctly. Definitely go ahead and watch that on YouTube. She did a great job. It was super... It was a really fun, easy watch. I didn't cry at all, so you're good. Don't worry.
Safe zone.
Yeah, and it was set in 2002 to 2003, and it's fun. It's super fun. After I got out, I listened to music from 2002 and 2003, and just brought back great memories. And if you guys are able to watch it, definitely do that. AMC does well. Certain AMCs accept MoviePass, not sponsored.
Good to know.
So the Burbank one accepts it. Thank you.
Fantastic.
Because if not, I probably wouldn't have watched
it.
Of course, money. But yeah, it was really cool. What do people
know? Ken Jack in the chat says Disaster Artist is going to be in 800 theaters this weekend. Thank you.
Oof. That's a rough one. All right.
Yikes.
That should be interesting.
Yeah, we'll see.
Yeah, we'll see. Yes, anybody else see any films that they'd like to talk about?
No, but I did notice that check your theaters because I noticed my theater, since there was nothing new, they started playing some other movies like I think it's Marshall. Yeah, Marshall was back.
Oh,
and
right.
then another one that like it already had its run. And so they were like, well, nothing new. Let's grab some older ones. So,
that's fun.
So check your theaters, guys. Always check double check.
Listings. Cool.
Yeah.
And who here has bought their tickets already for the Titanic re-release?
The what?
Titanic. The Titanic.
Titanic?
Oh!
Oh, no, but I did see my friend. She went and saw it. And they dressed up as first-class passengers.
Wow!
They made it out alive.
Yeah. I'll do it when it's an extended Titanic 3D double feature with extended Avatar 3D double feature. I'll buy my tickets for that.
Back to back.
Oh, boy.
With aliens on the tail end.
Yeah, no.
All right.
No, so, but really loose tie-in. I finally finished Devil in the White City for all those people that remember me talking about forever. And there's only a connection to the Titanic because the beginning and the end of the book talks about one of the guys who worked, the main guy who worked on the fair. He wasn't on the Titanic, but one of his buddies was. And that's like the buttons on the beginning and end of it. Oh. And it's going to be a movie later, by the way, Devil in the White City. If you guys are like, what is this about? It's a really good book.
I was asking myself that. But now I'm all cleared up.
I do have something related, but it's not like I saw something, but it was like I'm going to go see something this weekend.
Yes, you are.
On Saturday. I'm going to go watch The Shape of Water with the Q&A of Guillermo del Toro.
Yeah,
very cool.
Me so too.
I'm going very Saturday cool. night. They do have it two nights, I believe. And it's going to be at the Arclight Hollywood.
That's awesome. Going to be a lot of fun. I was fortunate enough to go to the screening and Q&A with Guillermo del Toro for Crimson Peak, which was a lot of fun. So I highly recommend bringing some questions along because he loves answering questions.
Definitely.
I didn't have any ready, and I felt like I was just a caboose.
They had you guys can probably find it online. NPR did a really good story with Doug Jones, and he talks about the preparations for Shape of Water and just other things that went into it. And Doug Jones does like an impression of Guillermo del Toro, like, this is how he told me a thing. And it's very funny. So if you guys can find that, if you're interested, NPR, just probably search that and Doug Jones and Shape of Water. It was a really good interview.
Nice.
Cool.
That was only like super research, other stuff I did.
So we're going to look back at Tommy Lee Jones' top five box office opening films there. Coming in at number five, we have Men in Black 2. Back from 2002, $52.1 million.
I like the first one. The
cool movie. Best Men in Black? Probably not.
Yeah, no. Correct. Yeah.
I'm a sucker for number three, to be honest.
Oh, you are?
Really?
Yeah.
With the old Brolls.
Well, because you get the
time travel.
Yeah.
It's cool. I'm a sucker if you throw time travel in it.
Let me tell you, dude. Me too. I've been on a whole time travel kick the last couple weeks. I'm just watching everything I can.
Like?
I just watched Frequently Asked Questions about Time Travel with Chris O'Dowd.
Okay.
Which is really funny.
I've been meaning to watch that.
Is that good? It's almost like a stage play. And each scene is like a small vignette, and they have like their scene that's in like this little bottle, and then they switch a location, and it's a different scene in its own little ecosystem. It's interesting. It takes place in one place, pretty much the whole movie, but in different moments in time. They introduce some interesting concepts, and it's funny. I like
it. That's cool. There's actually, I was seeing it in the festival circuit right now, there was a South Korean film called The Day. That's a kind of a loop type film, kind of like Groundhog Day and stuff. That's supposed to be really good take on that kind of genre. Well, I don't say genre, but
sub-genre.
Story trope.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. So yeah, check that out if it's playing at any festivals or anything like that. Take a look for it. I think you'd be really happy with it.
Dope.
Yeah. But like at the end when you see Will Smith coming back together with Tommy Lee Jones at the end, I feel like that kind of nice lands a nice little emotional beat in there.
Yeah.
Yeah. Sorry, guys, even my cold, dead heart got warmed a little bit at that. Number three, number four, Batman Forever, back from 95, 1995, $52.7
million. And he's the Joker, right?
Two-Face.
Yeah. Sorry, the other one. It's one of those things, you had the two.
One of the not best Batman movies, but in my opinion,
I liked it. The
best title for a Batman movie. I love that title. Mm. I thought it was, when I was a kid, and it was like Batman Forever. I was like, oh my God, I have no idea what it's about, and I super want to see it.
How did you like her, Val Kilmer, as Bruce Wayne?
Yeah, he was good.
I know. I just don't like Val Kilmer, though.
Oh.
Really?
I really don't like
Tombstone?
No, because I know some personal stories about him, and to me, he's just an asshole.
Hmm.
Okay. So it's
sort of unfairly shaded like that. So it's not really fair of me to say that I don't really like him in a role, because I don't like him, but I did really like him in Kiss Kiss Bang Bang. That's the exception.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Love that movie.
All right. I don't know. I like his Tommy Lee Jones' Two-Face never really.
Oh, I liked it.
Yeah.
I think for me, all the older Batman movies, I was a kid kind of a thing, so I'm like, they're all so cool.
Well, but I also felt like bad because I feel like Harvey Dent got the, or I mean, Billy Dee Williams got the short end of the stick.
Yeah.
Mm. You set up to be Harvey D, Harvey Dent. You can get my Billy Dee and my Harvey Dents mixed up. But yeah, set up to be Harvey Dent. And then they just brought in Tommy Lee Jones.
What about Heat? Someone was suggesting that for.
Yeah. You're not a big Heat fan?
What about the Doors, you know? You guys
remember? Yeah, he did that.
It wasn't that great.
Was it Real Genius?
Yes.
No. Oh, hey, wait. What about Zapruder Brothers? Is there a Top Secret?
I haven't seen it.
Oh, really? Mm. Oh, you would like that.
It's filled with a lot of dumb humor.
That is quirky. Yeah. Yes.
Yes. Right up your alley. You'd enjoy it. And in fact, that's
Island
really
of Dr. Moreau. Come on.
Oh, man. Yes. Oh.
No, but I only like that because I love the book. So I was like, the movies are cool. They're super weird.
I've been meaning to watch that movie, actually. Should
It's
be prepared?
Yeah.
Because Val Kilmer does a Brando impression.
Watch the original from the 60s as well. 60s? Okay. Yeah. That one's really good, too. Cool. If you like the concept, it's very cool.
Yeah, it sounds great.
Yeah.
But the nice thing about Top Secret is that's where they got the face mask mold that they used for Peter Cushing in Rogue One.
Interesting.
Was based off of that. Because it was close to the time that he had done Star Wars, and so they had the original mask they used to make the. There's a scene in there where he has a prosthetic on his face, and so they made a full face cast, and that's what they used.
Hmm.
Yeah.
The more you know.
There you go. Coming to number three for him was the one my favorite Men in Black, Men in Black 3, from 2012, $54.5 million.
Cute.
Yeah.
Cute.
I thought Josh Brolin did channeled a nice Tommy Lee Jones.
I think
in there.
He did. He did. Yeah.
He has the face and the voice.
Mm-hmm.
And he's a fine actor.
You go like, yeah, I'd buy it.
Yeah.
Sometimes when they do that, you just like, no.
Yeah.
Sometimes families, too, where like it's supposed to be their kids or their siblings. You're like, no.
Yeah.
Yep.
That's a movie. I'm curious. I would love to know just like the behind the scenes on that one. Was it that Tommy Lee Jones was like, I'm not really interested in doing a whole film, but if you throw me a lot of money, I will come in and bookend a movie.
Mm.
And they said, how can we still have him in here? Wait, what if we go back in time? Or was that something that was already just right from the jump?
Was it right at the beginning?
Maybe.
That's a good question.
Number two.
Probably on the DVD special features.
Number two is Jason Bourne from Universal back in 2016. That long, long, long year ago.
Star Drew in the chat called it.
Pretty sure he's looking it up.
Yeah.
Probably.
It made $59.2 million. That movie.
I didn't see it. It keeps popping up on. When I'm looking for movies to watch on HBO Go, it keeps popping up. And the screenshot they use is a very old and tired looking Matt Damon. And I'm like,
oh, I know, dude.
I just don't want to watch. It's super not
that's
appealing.
That's the first one, though, right?
That's the last one.
First one was The Bourne Identity.
Yes. Yeah. There we go.
This one, it was just like an unnecessary.
Wait, that's
film.
The one in Vegas, right?
Yep.
Yeah.
It's
no,
just
the
unnecessary.
Yeah, and
he didn't like how Jeremy. He didn't like Matt Damon. Didn't like how Jeremy Renner was in a Jason Bourne movie, and
he's
wasn't.
Like, no.
And so he, I guess he leveraged something. I know.
Wait, for reals?
Yeah, he got mad at somebody, and he's like, I want to be in another one, and it's going to be the last one. So they did it, and that's why it exists.
Like, if that's the last one, that's a really disappointing note to go out on in that series.
Because
I feel like
it was fine.
I don't think Matt Damon needed to come back unless it was really strong.
Yeah.
No, or unless they killed him in the first act. Yeah. That would be cool.
They have a scene that bothered me just because, like, if you've ever been to Vegas, they're able to do the smoothest drive down the strip. And I'm like, never. That never, ever happened.
Well, that yeah.
It just is one of those. It's just like the mug, the empty mug, the empty coffee cup. It's something that you know is real. And then when they mess it up, you're like, all right, I know this is a fake movie and all. This isn't the real world, but you just took the thing I know is real, and you were like, nope.
Yeah, but that's also anything with cars in Manhattan and Los Angeles.
Oh, and they can park anywhere in New York? Mm-hmm. Yeah, right.
I recently just rewatched Speed. And
Speed! Oh, that's so funny
when they
to
get
watch
off
now.
The freeway, when they get off the freeway and they have to keep it over 60 or over 50 miles an hour, and I'm like, okay, no, you're done.
Yeah.
You're done right when you hit the ramp. You're out of it. Everyone's dead.
Oh, and the freeway's not completed?
Yeah.
That is so dated to watch now.
Yeah.
Jonathan Peck in the chat, hopping back
yeah.
in terms of Batman Forever, says, I know the famous feud between Jim Carrey versus Tommy Lee Jones. I didn't know that feud.
I don't think I heard about that.
No.
Hmm. Ooh, Top Secret. Jonathan Peck,
yeah, see, you
put that in the
it.
Comments after the video. Make it as long as you want. We'll read it.
Yeah.
All right.
No, that's the... Oh.
Oh, and I think Top Secret is the film.
I'm sorry. Yes, tell us about it.
Yeah. Was it Top Secret story or Top Secret referring to the film?
I think they mean the feud.
Oh, that's a top, yeah. It's a top
leave
secret,
comment
top
down
secret
below.
Feud.
Yeah, because nobody will read that.
No. So, that nobody comes to read the comments on our videos. What?
Coming to number one for Tommy Lee Jones, Captain America, the first Avenger. From Paramount, back in those days when
I loved this movie.
Yeah.
I'm really sort of itching to watch it again. I remember it sort of got like critically panned when it came out.
Really?
And I didn't really understand why. Like, yeah, at least a lot of my friends, some of the reviews I was reading, people were like, oh, it's not Marvel's strongest movie. Iron Man's the better character. And I was like, what? But it's so full of
heart. This is the first Captain America. Right?
I know it's a little campy with like the whole like Hydra with the Nazis and all that was like a little sort of off base, you know, but I really liked that movie.
Mm-hmm. No, what I liked too about it too is that it gave you a sense that he had spent time in the war, mm-hmm. and they kind of just did a quick montage of the various mm-hmm. missions and stuff. They're like, all right, I'm digging that. It wasn't just like one singular incident and then it's the end of the movie now.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it wasn't like, you're a super soldier now, so now we're going to send you on like these high profile missions. It's like, no, he also has to be, you know, trained and be battle ready to be a soldier.
Yeah.
And he went through basic and then he got supersized. He can't just run in to do top secret missions. So I did enjoy how they gave him like normal stuff to do.
Yeah. And I liked it. It was like a Marvel film that was not like you fighting your opposite number where it's like we're not fighting like, hey, it's Iron Man versus Iron Monger. Just another guy in another
Iron
suit.
Yeah.
Like it was a Red Skull, a little different. It was cool. I was happy about that. That's the only thing that does bum me about Black Panther is that Michael B. Jordan just puts on that Black Panther suit and you're like, man, all right. I don't want to see just him fighting another version of himself.
Hmm. But, fair enough.
Yeah. Honestly, I'm there for that. I would love to see that for sure.
To him fighting another opposite version of himself?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, super.
Like, but what if he was just wearing like a different costume? Why does it have to be a Black Panther one?
Because, wait, hold on. Is Killmonger, that's this character's name.
Yes.
Is Killmonger, like, physically the same as T'Challa? Like, can he, like, run really fast? Is he really strong? All that stuff. Because he's that without the suit. And he puts the suit on, and he's just, you know, hyper-protected, at least to my knowledge.
The chat called him Black Jaguar. Oh. Like, for reals? I feel that's kind of funny, but could be absolutely true at the same time. Be like, wait, really?
I just know that his character's name is Killmonger, that's all.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah. So I don't know. Like, it'd be interesting to see if they have to, you know, if he has to work harder to be at the same level as T'Challa. I mean, I don't know. I'm there to see it. I'm there to figure it out.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
We'll find out.
Totally side note, but interesting thing. Zias in the chat said, well, after watching The Punisher, another war vet, you see the TVG version is Captain America, and the rated R version is The Punisher of a hero and mm-hmm. hero.
Agreed.
Also very different wars. And time periods, too. Mm-hmm. But like both of them in their own respective rights.
Yeah.
For sure. Who finished Punisher? Yay!
Yeah, it was pretty good.
I haven't watched any of the Marvel Netflix yet.
What? None?
None.
The Punisher was pretty good. My critique would be our boy Frank Castle, when he's getting beat up a lot, which is a lot.
Yes.
Starts to sound a little bit like a gorilla.
Like how?
When he's getting beat up. Like he gets beat, like he gets punched and he's like.
Yeah.
He's like all wide-eyed trying to like. I know what he's trying to do. He's trying to like look through whatever vision distortion he's going through, getting concussed all the time. But he's just like. No. And after like, you know, 13 episodes of that, you're sort of like. Okay.
I thought. My only problem with him is he kind of is. There are parts where I'm just like, you're really stupid and just listen to what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
I understand your paranoia and like your caution, but just shut up and listen.
Yeah.
But otherwise, I really liked it. It's a good show.
And also, it was a little bit too much Daredevil season one in the sense that he got beat up a lot.
He does get beat up a lot.
The cool thing about the Punisher is that he just goes into like a high risk area and destroys. But in this, he goes into high risk areas, destroys, but he gets like. Bullets everywhere.
You know.
And there's like, by the end of the, he never gets full time to recover from any of his injuries.
Like, this was last night, right?
Yeah, so by the end of it, he has like four broken ribs. He has a big scar on his face. He's like, all these things wrong with him. His face is like yellow from bruises. And he's like, I'm going to fight these guys. I'm like, no, you're not, buddy. You're going to lay down on a bed of ice and take a nap.
Anyway.
All right. now, of course, we did our top five rewind there. Now we're going to do our box office bet. But just before we do that, we'll do our top five predictions for next week. we'll add in, we can, since we're doing the bet on possibly Disaster Artist, we also have that, as well as that great film that we've all been waiting for, the Tommy Lee Jones, Morgan Freeman joint, Just Getting Started. We know it's going wide. I don't have an exact theater count, so we'll be kind of guessing blind. Are we, though?
Well, you want to guess, how about we instead bet on theater count? I'm guessing 2,400.
What?
2,400 screens for Just Getting Started.
Oof.
So Ken Jack brings up another, says Coco, Just Getting Started, Justice League, Wonder, and then Thor.
Just Getting Started. I mean, I know it was a quiet week last week.
I don't know if I'd put it up as number
Two. Well, Justice made 16, and it did suffer almost a 60 drop.
That's true. So if that drops a 50 again.
So if it drops a 50, we're looking at 8, maybe 7.5.
Yeah.
I don't know if it'll do that much, but I can see the argument that he's placing.
But, I mean,
we don't know.
Yeah, but do you think who's clamoring to go out and said, finally, we've got Morgan Freeman, Tommy Lee Jones, and Rene Russo in a film together? Honey, get the kids. We're going.
The people who aren't liking what else is out right now.
This is what we've been waiting for.
Exactly. Those people. Which there are those.
Yeah.
I'm going to hold out until Hollywood gives me what I want. And now they have.
Thank goodness. That is a good argument that it could go number two just because if Justice League drops 50, it's down at 8. So if it makes 10.
All right, but just think about playing Extreme Devil's Advocate. Even if you'd seen everything else, would this film be enough to like, yep, I need to go? Like, we're speaking to Amy Cassandra, who has a movie pass. No sponsorship here.
No sponsorship.
Will you go see this film?
No.
Even you can see, it costs you $1, basically, to go see this movie.
No.
Courtney in the chat says Coco, Wonder, Justice League, Thor, and then Just Getting Started.
I do like the idea of Wonder taking number two.
Yes,
I do.
It should.
I think it can.
Go see Wonder. It's wonderful.
Oh, is it?
It is. I want more people to see it.
All right. So is anybody buying that?
I'm liking Courtney's one of Coco, then Wonder, Justice, then Thor.
And then Just Getting Started?
Yeah, I think it can.
Then Just Getting Started is 5. I don't think Disaster could...
Not an 800 screen.
Not an 800, no.
No.
So, I think... Good call, Courtney. I'll go with that one. Coco, Wonder, Justice League, Thor, and then Just Getting Started.
I like Courtney's list. I'm not gonna disagree with that. Neil?
Yeah, no, I like it.
Amy?
Yep.
What'd
she say? Zayas agrees, too.
What day are you going to be seeing Just Getting Started on? We'd be seeing opening night. Do you want to wait for the crowds to die down and maybe go on Saturday or Sunday?
Yeah.
Matinee.
Yeah. Understand. Okay.
Yeah, you know. It'll be packed.
No, hey. Nicholas agrees, too.
All right. So, ladies and gentlemen, we'll do our box office bet here. I saw at least one vote for Just Getting Started. I don't know what the final tally is.
I was
going to
say, it's like technically, well... kind of the only one, but
oh man, where's Alvin when you need him?
Teresa says, "Remember, 48 million old people."
Yeah, but even I.
The thing is, like, okay, someone.
But has there been a lot of ad campaign to get?
I have not seen
push.
I feel like people are going to be like, "Wait, what movie? What's out?"
Maybe one time I've heard of this movie is on this show.
Ken Jack,
yeah,
Ken Jack, thank you, buddy, for your public service. There, the Disaster Artist won 3-1. Fantastic!
Yay!
Relieved.
Yes.
So 800
screens.
800 screens.
How much is that going to make?
Probably about the same.
$50 million,
probably about
guys.
Probably about the same as Just Getting Started, if we're being honest.
Yeah.
The theaters that Disaster Artist is playing in, like its limited release this past weekend, its very limited release, are probably handpicked theaters that have had campaigns going for a while in coastal high volume intrinsic cities like New York and Chicago and Los Angeles. So these are theaters and locations that are primed for people who want to go see it.
Yeah.
So it's going to do better than like Just Getting Started would in probably 1,600 screens.
And I feel like I've seen a lot about the Disaster Artist. I have not seen anything until I looked at it today and saw the poster. I have not seen one ad, one commercial, anything but Just Getting Started.
Oh yeah.
Well,
because where did you see the trailer? Is that the theater?
Yes, I'll try the theater. I can't tell you what movie it was for though. It was a couple weeks back.
It's news time.
Some predictions to maybe help us. We have Ken Jack is 5 million. Star Drew says 2.5. Courtney says 8. Teresa says 1.5. Nicholas says 6. And Tony says 6.5. Jeanette says 10. Oh, Jeanette Mouse says 10. Oof.
All right. And Jay right. Alvarez says, I'm Italian. Great. Mm. He ate a lot of pasta. That's right.
Okay.
All right, so ladies and gentlemen, let's put our bets in here. Of course, the person who's get closest gets the braggadocious title of prognosticator of the week. The person that's farthest away will have to go see the film and tell us what they thought. So, again, Disaster Artist, 800 screens. Hmm.
Indeed.
Indeed.
Okay.
All right. Everybody locked
in? Wow, Zai says 11.5. Woo! No. Yeah.
All right.
Disaster Artist made... Ken Jack says...
Made $1.2 million in four theaters this week. Wow.
I think he said 19
theaters. 19 theaters.
19 theaters.
Jeez. Those are expensive.
Wow. 19 theaters, okay. 1.2.
So wait, it's already made 1.2?
Yeah.
So, all right, fine. I'm going to change my number.
And only 19 theaters. I assume it's going a little bit wider. So I will say...
What? I went really high, I felt, and then I went really low. And I'll go back to my... I don't know.
All right, ladies and gentlemen. Amy Cassandra. Let's go to you, because I know you want to see...
You seem so
started.
Excited about it.
Yes.
Well, yeah.
You also seem the most composed with your answer.
Yes.
Well, I went with 5, like... I Me had too. A first thought, and then I had a second thought, and went with the first.
I went 4.8.
Oh.
Oh, boy. Looks like I'm on the low end with 3.4.
Oh! All right. Man, look at that.
All right. We'll All see. Right. Okay.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is a bottom shooter. I'm excited about those bottom shooting
games.
That's right.
Yeah.
Ladies and gentlemen, that's going to do it for this episode of Box Office Breakdown. But, of course, you can always like us on Facebook, giving us those 5 stars on iTunes. Subscribe to the YouTube channel. And while you're there, give it a bunch of thumbs. Thumbs. And if you're watching this after we've streamed live, you can always... What can they do, Carrie?
You can comment down below.
And what would you like them to comment on other than Neil's well wishes?
What's up?
Well, we can do this week and next week because we can talk more about it. Favorite Christmas movie... Animated. Favorite animated Christmas movie. That includes Claymation and... 2D.
Good distinction.
All right. And if you want to continue the conversation with us even after the show's over, Neil Plumley, where can they find you?
Almost exactly there. You can find me at a place where people are found at The Neil Plumley. That's TheNeilPlumley. I like talking about movies.
That's fantastic. So do I.
It's like she just learned that for the first time. You do?
What?
This is crazy.
Something in common?
Really breaking news, guys. You all can find me on all social media at Amy Cassandra TV. Keep those suggestions coming for your favorite holiday-related movies. I am working my way through. Give a shot. Try out Vudu if you haven't tried Vudu.
The donut?
Oh, no.
Not sponsored by Vudu.
But, yeah, I did see... It's an interesting movie. It's called The Night Before. It's a holiday movie, so...
Okay.
Yeah. Definitely send those suggestions my way, our way, everyone's way. Thank you.
And you guys can find me online at Carrie D. Lane. That's KARIDLANE.
And you follow me on Twitter and Instagram at HappyGoJackie. Ladies and gentlemen, thanks for joining us for this episode of Box Office Breakdown. We'll be back here next Sunday night at 10 o'clock to break down another weekend's box office happenings. Until then, go see some movies. Eat a bunch of popcorn, guys.
Later.
From producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire Popcorn Talk Network, we would like to thank you for tuning in. For questions or comments, be sure to visit popcorntalk.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of the Popcorn Talk Network.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of the Popcorn Talk Network or its owners or principals.